Good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? Anybody ready for some picnicking? I'm sorry about the weather. I did the best I could. No, I'm telling you what a blessing. I mean, it's been hot for so long in our church and school picnic. We are going to have some beautiful weather out there. So looking forward to that. Folks, it is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again. So strange. If you stop and think about it, it's so strange that we can be here. You know, the fact that, I mean, just take a quick tour of your life and all the dumb things you've done. And all the ways that you've let other people down, all the ways that you've been unloving, the ways you've been selfish, the ways you put yourself before even God himself. And he still graciously, not reluctantly, not, you know, because he has some legal compunction to do so, he eagerly waits for us to show up in his house so that he can continue to give us the unbelievable love and mercy and forgiveness that we never did deserve. But he looks forward to it. And he's disappointed when we don't show. And so, guys, we are here. We are in his house. We are about to hear his word. We're about to have opportunities to sing his praise. We are about to hear about his love and forgiveness. We're about to hear about his desires for us in our lives. Let us open our hearts to him as we begin this worship service, remembering the day that he welcomed us into his family through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. I pray that you would be here among us, Lord, first here at worship, Lord, as you relate to us, as you give us all that we need, Lord, and as we, as a family, Lord, return thanksgiving and praise to you for all that you have done. And then later, as we meet as a family, Lord, and where we are, Lord, you will be with us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us and bless us, Lord, as we talk and eat together, Lord, play games and just continue to grow together because of the relationship that you have created in each of us. Lord, all these things we pray and we come before you today in your name. Amen. All right, my friends. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a great God we have. What a merciful God we have. And with the forgiveness of sins fresh in our minds, let us give thanks and praise to him for all he has done.
God is great, give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere his glory on display. Take a look at those stars, he can name all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to pray. Even the wind and the waves obey our God. Is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is came and put death back in its place. Friday on a cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from the grave. Take a look at the scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Let the saints and the angels sing. Our God is an awesome God. Come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, you're an awesome God, you're great. In all you do, I'm made to worship you, my God. You're an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. Our first reading, my name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here. Our first reading is Deuteronomy chapter 8, 11 through 20. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well for you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, sermon's text for today is James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, and so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, and so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. This is God's word for us today. And now it is time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
And make sure you bring your backpacks with you. If you brought a backpack today, go ahead and bring your backpack with you. Good morning. I brought my backpack too. If you guys want to have a seat right down here, I actually have a couple helpers. I have Ava. And where is Chelsea Bug? Can you have a seat right out there? Grab your letters, I'm gonna have you stand up. Okay, with those. I'm gonna take a peek at some of these backpacks. Go ahead, Solomon, right out there.
Okay.
Good job, buddy. We're going to stay back here today, okay? You'd sit there with your big sister. All right. So I'm taking a look at your backpacks. And I think I can tell something about you by looking at your backpacks. I think some of you like to play Minecraft. Is that true? Yeah. I think some of you like unicorns and princesses. Am I right? I think some of you like superheroes. Am I right? Yeah. So I can tell a little bit about you from looking at your backpack. And I want you to remember that for a little bit later. But we're about to start a school year or a new work year. And so I heard some words when Pastor Bob was reading. Here's some words I heard. Fights, quarrels, enemy, jealousy. Those words make you feel really good? Not so much. Which is why I love the theme for St. Mark's this year. Have you guys seen this shirt at all? Yeah. Some people have been wearing this shirt. And our theme this year is you wore that shirt, didn't you?
Yeah.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I believe that we can make a joyful noise to the Lord in every single thing that we do at school. Every single thing. Because of this word here, joyful. Joyful means full of, guess what? Joy. So I'm going to give my friends here. And would you stand up and show them your letters? That's how we spell joy. Can you say those letters? J-O-Y. And I'm going to teach you a little trick for how you can have joy in everything you do. What is the biggest letter up here?
J.
The J is the biggest. So let's talk about the J. The J is for Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross to wash away our sins. So it makes sense that we would keep him first. Now, when I think I was in high school, we used to wear these little braces, WWJD. Did any of you guys have those or the shirts? What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? So when we're at school, we can think first about J. What would Jesus do? So if your teacher gives you a paper and says, would you please work quietly on this, what would Jesus do? He would work quietly on the paper. And if you were out at recess and you saw somebody over there all by themselves, they didn't have anybody to play with, what would Jesus do? He'd go play with them. So we're going to keep Jesus first. And then we have O. The second thing that we want to think about is others. So if you're at school and the little bitty kids are taking a nap and you're walking down the hall, how could you keep those little bitty kids first? What would you do? No. What would you do? Real quiet. And if everybody in your class was voting on what they were going to play at recess, and they all voted for something and you wanted to do something else, how could you keep those other kids as more important than you? Yeah, do what they voted for. Might not be your favorite, but you could do that. And what's the last letter in joy? Why? Now you can think about you. So if you already thought about Jesus, you already thought about others, you can think about you. So if mom says, what do you want to wear today? You can pick. I like that. Or if the teacher says, it's free time, you may make a choice. What can you do? Make a choice. Do what you want to do. So the letters, J-O-Y, what are we going to keep first? Then others, you. And that will help us to make a joyful noise in everything we do. You guys can One of the things that we're going to give you before you go away, I have mine in my backpack, is a little tag. And it has the Bible verse on it. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Because remember what I said about your backpack? People can tell something about you when they look at your backpack. And if you have that little tag on there, they will know that you are thinking about making a joyful noise to the Lord. So, if you have a backpack, will you put it in your lap right now? And I want you to put your hands on your backpack, and I want you to repeat after me. You ready? Dear God, help me to make a joyful noise in all I say or do this school year. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one more thing that I want to teach you, or some of you already know it. So I'm going to have my friends stand up with me, and I'm going to say and do something, and then you can repeat. Are you ready? They're going to help you. We make a joyful noise in all we say and do by keeping first things first. It's Jesus, others, you. Psalm 98, verse 4. All right, everybody can stand up. We're going to do it all together. You can stand up too. Everybody ready? This is how we're going to make a joyful noise all year. Here we go. We make a joyful noise in all we say and do by keeping first things first. It's Jesus, others, you.
All righty. I'm assuming everybody's gone to little worship already or are on their way. Folks, when I was growing up, long time ago, I love that because, you know, I'm middle-aged, so I understand I'm in the middle, but it is kind of funny. I've never been older, so I feel old. I don't know what to say to that. Anyway, but the thing is, when I was a kid, there was a singer, a Lutheran singer named Don Wharton. Anybody hear him? All the old Lutherans have their hands in the air. He was an old Lutheran singer. He'd come to schools and churches, and he would put on little concerts and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. But he had a song that has always just embedded itself in my brain, and it was telling a story about a boy who loved boats. Remember this? He loved boats, and so he made a boat. And he made it out of his passion. He made it out of his love. He loved boats, and he made this boat out of love, and he loved the boat. And if you guys have had this kind of experience before, right, where you pour yourself into something, and it becomes almost part of you because it comes from you. You did this, right? And then he was floating his boat in the river, and the string that attached him to his boat broke. And he watched helplessly as his boat floated away. And he grieved because he lost his boat. But one day he was walking through the town, and guess what he saw in the window of a secondhand store? His boat. The boat that he had made, the boat that he had loved, the boat that he had poured his time and energy and creativity into was sitting right there in the window. But there was also a price tag on it now. And so he went to work. And he worked hard all summer long, earning the money necessary to buy that boat that he loved. And by the end of the summer, he had enough, and he walked into the store, and he purchased the boat. And as he was walking home, he was saying to his boat, because that's what boys do, we talk to things, and we say, he said, "You are mine. Two times you're mine. Once because I made you, and once because I bought you." Guys, this is our relationship with God. He created you out of grace and love. He knew at the very beginning all the trouble we were going to cause him, and he still made us because he loves us that deeply. And when we fell into sin, and when our relationship that he wanted to have with us, that perfect relationship where we would be his people and he would be our God, when that relationship was severed by sin, he started working. And for thousands of years, he put all the pieces in place. He revealed himself to prophets who spoke the God's word to his people. They wrote it down so that we still have it. He put just the right people in charge. He had the Romans take over the world and build roads, which had never happened before. And he had it all set up so there was a peace. You could travel easily and quickly. Messages could travel from one end of the empire to the other quickly. And the Bible tells us, at just the right time, Jesus came into the world. And because he loved us, he made us. And because he loved us, he bought us back at the cost of his own life. He paid the full penalty that we deserved, and he bought us. My friends, we belong to him. Twice. Once because he made us, and once because he redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil, giving to us eternal salvation, peace with God, the certainty of our home in heaven. We know the end of the story, and it gives us such peace. And we stand looking at God, and we are amazed. Amazed at his grace, amazed at his power, amazed at his creativity, both in creation and also in how he went about redeeming us. And we are in awe, and we praise him, and we love this relationship. This relationship with God is crazy. The God of creation, the one who is bigger than everything, the one who spoke everything into existence, that incredible God is walking with us every day. He's a prayer away. He listens to us. Not only does he listen to us, he misses you when you don't talk to him. You have his attention. And because he's God, you all have his attention, all of it, which is wild, but it's a God thing. And this God craves your attention. Think about that. Your God, words of the text, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? He jealously longs for that. He wants us. He wants all of us. Isn't that a crazy thought that the God of creation has such an attitude toward you? And so we stand looking at this God, and we are left in worshipful wonder. And he fills our view. It's everything that we have. Our eyes are on him. And all we can think is, how can I give him thanks and praise for all that he has done for me? He, How can I even make a gesture toward a response to everything he has done for me? How do I give God anything? He already has everything. He tells us in Scripture, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. Right? So literally, how do I bless the one who already owns everything, including me? And he says this, he says, I just want you to be with me. I want you to be in my word so I can speak to you. Be in my house so that you can speak to me. Be with these people of God. Love them as I have loved you. I want you to love them. And how did he love us? Sacrifice. How does he want us to love each other? Sacrifice. Yes, that means you won't have as much because you're going to give up stuff, time, money, resources, so that you can love the people that God has put in this world around you. That's how it works. And this is what our God wants. Our God wants us to walk out our life and worship to him. Now, does that mean that we have to live some sort of monkish existence? Because that's exactly what the monks in the Middle Ages, that's what they were doing. They were basically saying, all I want to do is follow God. I don't want any other distractions. And so I'm going to walk away from my family, from all my responsibilities and everything else, and I'm going to go live in a monastery or a convent, someplace where I will do nothing but spend time with God. Is that what God's asking for? No. That's not what God's asking for. See, here's what God, the way God has structured our lives is this. He says, I have given you jobs to do. In the Lutheran world, we call them vocations, right? When you get married, God's giving you a vocation. You are now a spouse. You're a husband, you're a wife, and your job is to sacrificially love that other person, all right? Men, you're supposed to be the spiritual head of the household, which means you are the first servant. You understand that? Everything's backwards in the Bible if you don't understand this. When you are in charge, it means you are a servant. The more you're in charge of, the more people you serve. This is how it works, right? Ministers, past ministers, you know what the word means? Servant. That's what it means. You know, when you talk about the ministry and the government, those are government servants. That's what that means. Is it getting at the idea that when you are in charge, you serve. So, men, we serve. Women, guess what we do? We serve. We serve each other. And people are like, well, I don't want to have to give up anything. That's what love is. Love is giving up things. Love is saying, I will not have as much because my children need more. You know what I'm saying? My shoes are older than theirs. My car's older than my wife's. It's how it works. I am the servant. I take care of them. I put them first. It's what we do as Christians. We take care of ourselves, do we not? So that we can take care of others. And if you're wondering about this whole thing, it's like this. It's like, where is that? I'm sorry. I need notes. How about this? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul is talking, and he's talking to the Ephesians, and he's saying, if somebody's a thief, their job, his instruction for them is they should no longer steal, but they should work hard with their hands. Why? So that they will have something to share with those who are in need. What did he not say? Work hard with your hands so that you can have a nicer car. Work hard with your hands so you can have a bigger house. Work hard with your hands so that you can go on a more lavish vacation. No, it says we work hard with our hands because what is the goal? Our goal is to get on board with what God is doing in the world. And what God is doing in the world is he is loving the snot out of the people that he made. And he wants his people to be on board with his task, which is to also love those people. And so we do this because of all that he has done for me, because I see what he is all about with his incredible gracious love, the love that brought us into being, the love that redeemed us from sin, the love that is in, that is with us every single day, the love that is waiting for us to drag us to heaven to be with him, because he can't wait, because he jealously desires the spirit that he has caused to exist in us. So why is he jealous? Well, it's because we have a hard time continuing to look at God. Because we live in this world. The world has a lot of shiny objects. You know, distracting things. Stuff that promises happiness. I mean, watch the commercials. How many things can you not live without, according to them? And what are the promise of those things, right? I mean, I don't know if there's, I don't watch regular TV, so I have no idea what commercials are anymore, but I remember like when I was younger, the commercials were like a whole bunch of people having a great time drinking beer together. And what are they basically, what's the promise of the commercial? If you drink this beer, you will have wonderful times and great friends just like these people on the commercial. That's what the promise is. That's what they're trying to sell you. There was another commercial. I love this commercial. This incredibly happy household. And guess what the commercial was selling? Toilet paper. If you buy this toilet paper, your whole family will be thrilled, loving. They'll get along. Everything will work out. Do you think this is going to work? Why do we buy it? Why do we buy it that the next iPhone is going to be the one that's actually going to make us happy, right? I mean, we've been through many generations already, but this is the one, right? Can't wait to get it because then I will, what? Right? I mean, what are the promises that we buy into in this life? And, but it does, we do. It's unbelievable, it's unexplainable because we're looking at God, but somehow we keep turning around and looking at the world. And when we look at the world, what are we turning our back on? Can we face both directions at once? Do we try? Will it ever work? How long will it take us to learn? I mean, isn't it the truth? I mean, even King David in the Psalms said, how long, O Lord, will I do these things? Why can't I get, Paul talked about, right? I want so much to do what's right, but it's this sin that's in me that keeps dragging me back. And when we turn around and when we look at the stuff in the world, it's the craziest thing. The blessings, the way God provides for us, the things that he has given us in this world to take care of us, and the things that we are supposed to be, that we get to use to love the people around us as we work with God, doing his work in the world, those blessings become curses. Think about it. If all of a sudden I'm not looking at God anymore and instead I'm looking at the world, what's the world telling me is going to be important? Money. Right? I mean, because money gets you a lot of stuff. Money takes away your problems. If you have lots of money and your car breaks down, what do you say? Get it fixed. No big deal. Move on. Right? You know, if you want things to work out in a certain way and you have lots of money, can you buy influence and cause things to happen? Because money bring power? Yeah, absolutely. Can money bring security? If you're like, I'm feeling like insecure in this world, but I can buy a house far enough out with a big enough fence, with enough guards, and I will feel safe. We can find ways to try to solve the problems of the world on our own. If only we have enough. And the thing is that trusting in God, when I was young and poor, really poor, you know, three kids making like $30,000 a year, and we were like really poor, how easy was it to trust God? Easier. Why? Because I had no other plan. There was no other answer. I mean, I couldn't, there was no mathematics that was going to make my budget make sense. I had to depend on God every moment for everything. When something went wrong, first thing I did is prayed. Why? Because I had no other to-do list. There was nothing else to lean on. I trusted him out of absolute necessity. But when you have money, is it so easy to forget about God? Something went wrong, we'll buy something and fix it. Got it, God, you don't need to help. Right? Is this the relationship God wants with us? Does he want to share us with money? Is money the thing that is going to save us? Can money make us happy? Can money really give us security? Can money make my life meaningful? Is money a good God? How often do we have to remind ourselves of this? And you know, the thing is I'm talking about money and I'm a pastor. What that means is I'm in trouble. And I acknowledge this. I understand how this works. But if you're having upset feelings right now because we're talking about money in church, I have to ask why. Because if we're facing this way, looking at God, then the stuff that I have is nothing more than the resources necessary for me to be his man in the world, to do his work, to love his people. And there's nothing that would cause me to have negative emotions about that. The only way that I would be upset or angry about talking about money is if money is taking a little bit too big of a place in my life. If I have to give up my security because money is where my security comes from. I have to give up my power because that's where my security, that's where my, you know, money is what gives me, you understand? And so I have to ask you today, and I understand I'm asking big things, but this is what I ask. If this bothers you, think carefully about that. I'm being kind of a doctor now, you know what I'm saying? I went to the doctor and I said, my knee hurts. And the doctor said, well, let's find out why it hurts, right? If you tell me I'm upset, my question is, why are you upset? What's going on, right? Now, here's the other thing that could be happening here too. Sometimes people feel guilty and it's false guilt. This can happen, right? It's like if you want to, because you are a follower of God, because your eyes are on him and you want to give to him and you want to be part of this whole thing, but you don't have anything to give. I have been there. Talked about it earlier, right? When I had three kids, not much money, trusting God for everything because I got no other plan. Somebody comes to me for money, they're going to be disappointed. I got to feed the family. It's all I got. I can't do any more than this. You can't get blood from a turnip, right? And the thing is if you're feeling bad because you don't have anything to give, you can't do it because of where you are in life and the situation you're in, I am not here to make you feel guilty for that. That's called phase of life. That's called every once in a while things get really, really hard. Now, does that mean you can't give at all? No. There are other ways we can give, right? If you don't have money, do you have time? If you don't have time or money, can you pray for those who are also doing the work? Are there other ways that you can contribute to God's ministry in the world? Don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can, right? But it's the ones that are clinging to it, that bothers me. And it bothers me for this reason. You already have the greatest God. You have a God who will not let you down. You have a God who is more powerful than any problem this world can bring us. And I want you to have all of your faith in the God who loves you, not any substitute, because no substitute is worthy of your worship. No substitute is worthy of your faith. Trust in Him and Him alone. And when we struggle, what does God tell us again in the words of the text? Back to what we said before. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit that He has caused to dwell in us? And now you go, oof, I've done that. I've not given Him my whole Spirit. And what does He say immediately? But He gives us more grace. When we fail, He doesn't stop forgiving. It doesn't make failure good. It doesn't make it okay. But we are assured of the forgiveness that He earned for us on the cross. Our place with Him is certain. We are His children. Let us live as His children. Let us give Him thanks and praise. Let us openly acknowledge that everything we have belongs to Him, and let us use all things for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your incredible love, mercy, grace, just the so many ways that You have blessed us throughout our lives. Lord, I pray that You would help us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You. Help us to live out our lives in worshipful thanksgiving for all that You have given us. Help us to love as You have loved us. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for the offering. As the offering is taken, I do encourage you to pray to register your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And let us sing praises to our God. Thank you.
without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Please stand as we confess our faith. Today we will be confessing using the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. As we go into our time of prayer today, I want to let you know Joan Linenbroker passed away on Friday. I don't know if a lot of you don't know who that is, but Marv Linenbroker, her husband, he passed away in 2015. He's the guy that designed the cross that's up behind me. He also painted those paintings that are over the doors in the lobby of our church, and he also carved the altar and the baptismal font that's in our, he did a lot more than that. So many of the churches west of us, the smaller churches out in the country and stuff, those have chancel art that he painted, that he made. He's an incredible gift of God. And more than that, both of them, Joan and Marv, were both incredible giants of faith. It was the most amazing thing. I went out there several times to do a pastoral visit where I was supposed to bless them. Funny. Yeah, they were the amazing, unbelievable people, contributed so much to our family here at St. Mark's. And so I just ask that you guys would keep that family in your prayers at her death and just celebrate that she is now in the presence of her Savior. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so very much for your incredible love for us, Lord, that you do so much for us. We can't even really truly in any real way quantify it all, Lord, but we are grateful that you are our God doing all the things that we cannot do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live with our eyes on you, Lord. Turn toward the work that you are doing in the world and passionately, Lord, with the passion we've received from you, with the forgiveness we've received from you, with the love and mercy that we've received from you, that we would reflect that love into the world so that others may see you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we gather this after the service today for our church and school picnic, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would use that as an opportunity to work in and through us, to help us to love each other, Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to be to know each other, Lord, to pray for each other, to lift each other up, Lord, to live and do life together because of your incredible love for us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to just take care of us as your church, Lord. You provide for each of us individually. You provide for each family, and you provide for our congregation, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to trust in that promise of provision, Lord, that we can have peace, Lord, in all times. All these things we bring before you today, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Before time began. Oh,
Our God has come to us once again in his body and blood, and through this incredible gift, he has given us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in his name. With this, depart in his peace to serve him and to serve each other with joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song today. Have a seat. First announcement today is a trailer. We have some Bible studies coming up, and some of them actually have video trailers to kind of help us to understand exactly what it's about. This is one that Pastor Josh is going to be teaching on the ruthless elimination of the hurry trailer, or the hurry. The trailer is not part of the title. I got that now. Got that. All right, here it comes. All right. Excellent. And then, let's see here now. I won't see you next weekend. I'm going to be in Romania. Yeah, Janine and I are going to go see Jesse. So, yeah, it's very exciting. I've never been to Europe, and I've never done a two-week vacation in my life. But if you're going to the other end of the world, you probably should stay a while. So I'm planning on being back. I'll miss this the coming weekend. I'm planning to be back the next weekend, but that's only if all the airfares line up just properly. Because we're planning on being back Saturday night. We might not make it. But if we are, we will be here. All right? But Pastor Josh is still going to fly solo. With that, Dan and Pat McLaughlin, are you guys here? No, they're not here? Okay. It is going to be their 62nd wedding anniversary tomorrow. So send them a card, tell them you love them, all that kind of stuff. All right, very good. And with that, let's pray for the meal that we're about to receive, whether you're at the park with us or not. And incidentally, I know how people think, okay? They think, do I really want to go? You know what I mean? You're like, do I want to do this? Here's how I'd rather you think about it, is go and use it as an opportunity to love the other people around you. Because this is what fellowship is doing life together. And it's very hard to sacrificially serve each other if we don't show up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to make you feel guilty either. I'm just trying to say, this kind of stuff is a little important. We don't want to, without reason, skip this stuff. Okay, with that, let us pray. And I think I announced Joan's death, but I don't think I actually prayed for her. So let's pray for her and the meal, okay? Or pray for, not for her, but for her family and the meal. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you so much for all the wonderful people that you have given us to bless us, Lord, throughout our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for the linen brokers, Lord, and especially today, Joan. Lord, I pray that you would be with her family, Lord, as she grieves. And we thank you so much that they don't have to grieve the way the world grieves because they have hope. We know, Lord, of what you have done in her life. We know that you have given her faith, Lord, and we know that she stands before you today. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this meal that we are about to receive. Bless this this picnic, Lord, for our school and our church families, Lord. Help us to use this as an opportunity to bond with each other, to grow closer with one another, Lord, as we all struggle in this life to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Outstanding. Blessings, my friends. I'll see you at the park.